And now I get the fun part. What's that? Yeah, well, that setup isn't done. Because God gave me something, too. This is going to be even more fun. And believe it or not, it's not in my notes. When Dan was talking about the boat and Jesus walking by and disciples' knees knocking and all that stuff, and God turned around and just said, "Why do we put so much faith in the devil's handiwork?" I'm like, "What? Wait a minute. What are you talking about? I mean, it's a boat. What's wrong with the boat? Yeah, why do you put so much faith in the devil's handiwork? Why are you still standing in the devil's playground, letting him beat you up? Why?" And God's like, "You need to change your mind. There is no boat." I'm like, "Oh my God. Oh, I can't escape that movie no matter how hard I try. I just can't. I can't. It just keeps coming back." It's a very spiritual movie. Did you know The Matrix? The Matrix is a very spiritual movie. There's a lot of spiritual lessons that a Christian can learn from that movie. It's not a Christian movie by any stretch, but when you watch it with, like, you know, Jesus in your heart and you're watching it from a Christian's perspective, I mean, you're just sitting there, you're like, "Man, that's really good." There is no boat. I'm like, "Well, that changes everything about that whole entire passage now." I have to relearn how I'm reading that. So, who wants to be my daring representative for today? Do you know it yet? No? You want me to help you out? Alright, go ahead, Miss Bobby. You can get us started. "Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am everything. I am who it says I am." Yep. "I am who it says I am. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen." Yep. Because this is truth. Right? Can't live without this. This is survival. So, we are going to continue on. Little bit of a series teaching on how God delivers, and it's not a deliverance message by any stretch, right? We've learned that this is not deliverance. But we were using Caleb as our muse, as our example, in how God's promises showed up every single time, and that the basis on the fact that we know how God delivers on his promises, no matter what ridiculous thing it may be, and how insane things might be, we know we can always count on the fact that God will deliver on his promises. And not always based on our timing, but it will be done. Because God is faithful. Amen? So, today we're going to talk about how God delivers power. Power. Electricity to your house. He comes by in a truck. Drives up. Bing, bing. "I'm here to supply you with power." Well, I have Atlantic City Electric, so it's not always the greatest in my neck of the woods. So I'm all down for getting different power source. Amen? Amen. So the power of God is actually pretty interesting because, and in our life group teaching, most of the guys who come and are a part of the life group teaching know that I'm a big fan of Webster's 1828 dictionary, right? You guys have caught on to that now. I can't pull fast ones anymore. But it's good because you guys now have a training implement in your possession that will educate you without me having to do it for you. And that's good. So power in the dictionary, the 1828 Webster's dictionary, states that power means force or strength. Now, here's the thing. There's other definitions. And when you go through, there's actually like 24 for power. It's a crazy amount of definitional like listings. But one of them talks about moving or producing change in something. And I found that one to be profound because that is in line with what the power of God does. Amen. The power of God moves upon us to produce change. Right? How many people, after getting saved, can admit they're no longer the same person they were from when they got saved, from before? Right? We've been changed, right? That's by the power of God. Amen. Right? But now we go back to the story of Caleb, right? The power of God was moving from the very beginning, right? From the point when there was a moment where the people who were captive were being pulled out of Egypt, right? By the power of God, right? Because what ruler is just going to go, I have all of you as slaves and workers for free. I don't have to do anything. I can treat you like garbage all day long. I don't want you anymore. I don't know anybody who would do that. Not by their normal means. That would have to be by the power of God, right? God's delivering on his promises, right? So we get to the point where now Caleb, right, sitting there after he goes out and investigates the land, power of God moves again. Because you have a bunch of reports that come back. I love that knees knocking. They're afraid of what they saw. They were terrified that the land would not be able to be theirs because of what was around them. And yet again, here goes the power of God. But this time it was different. Because the power of God did not move in Caleb, but it moved through Caleb. And here comes the part that we have to play. How many of you guys were at the life group on Wednesday? Because we talked about this, right? We talked about this in our life group study, right? We talked about being a conduit, right? What's a conduit? Conduit is passing something from point A to point B, right? Wiring, right? Electrical wiring, right? Is a conduit for electricity, right? Right? Plumbing is a conduit for water. It moves water from point A to point B, right? We are conduits of God's power. Amen. We are responsible to move God's power from the source to whatever its destination is. But it's not that simple, of course. There's more to it, or my message would be over, and I'd be like, okay, we're done. Have a nice day. I didn't even open the Bible, you know, like, wow, what church is this? Now, we're going to talk about some specific way this happens, and if you could join me in Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8, and if you know anything about what happened in the very first chapter of Acts, you will know what this message is entirely about. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, but we'll go there. It's going to be up there. I'm just going to turn to it myself. You got it up there, Dill? It's up there. It's been up there, right? I'm just taking my good old time getting there myself. So, but you can see up there, and you can read it. Let's do this. It's New King James Version, and it says, "And being assembled together with them," and this is Jesus, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, it's real easy to get wrapped up in this scripture because I can honestly tell you, and I always give you guys very much my own honest opinions, I've heard this over and over and over again in bits and pieces, right? We heard the whole, you know, being witnesses to all those in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, right? We've heard that part. Then we heard about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? We heard about that and the promise and all that stuff. But I kept this all together for a very specific reason. And here's where it goes. Very first part, we had a reassurance. What's Jesus do? He reassures us of something. He reassures us of a promise that was given by whom? The Father. And if we know anything about the Father and His promises up to this point, we know that He's good on it, right? Amen? Alright, so that covers the first base, right? And now Jesus is kind of like a Caleb figure now at this point. What did He do? Much like Caleb did, He remembered the promises of God, He recalled them, and then He basically turned around and repeated what God said back to the people who were not sure what they were going to do. Now you have a bunch of people that are worried and concerned because they know Jesus is going to leave. They're concerned. What do we do? What do we do? They're worried. Okay, whatever. And Jesus reminds them, tells them, much like Caleb, didn't God say that this is our land? Did He not promise this land to us? Jesus said, did God not promise you a helper? Did God not promise you His Spirit? He's reminding them. Focus on God's promises. Right? Okay. So He convinces the disciples of God's promises and how they're guaranteed. And then He did something that is even better. And going back to the same principle of what Caleb, right, had experienced, when he was going along every step of the way, he could recall every time God did, every time God promised, every time God showed up. Well, Jesus was a walking, living example of how the God the Father honored promises and displayed them for everybody to see. Did He not? Right? Just read through all the previous books. You can see clearly. Alright. I'm giving you guys a lot of homework. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That's a lot of homework. That's a lot of books. You don't have to read all of them. Not today, at least. Okay. The other thing that happened here is that Jesus laid a prime illustration. And now, mind you, Jesus to us is the model, correct? Right? Jesus displayed all this stuff as a model and a representation of whom we're to represent and how we're supposed to be now, right? Okay? So if you turn to Luke, 8th chapter, verse 46, happens, I love this. This is a really great story. This is a great testimony of something that happened. This one time, this woman who's having a bleeding issue knows Jesus is in the area. Jesus is renowned now, stands before Him. So people flock to Him in crowds just to touch the hem of His garment. That's all they believed they needed in order to receive from God. And Jesus recognized that somebody had done so. But in this case, this was different than all the other times. Right? Because this has happened before, had it not? I mean, Jesus testifies about how this has happened before. He talks about all the times He's gone and done and doing them. But this one particularly was different because here He recognizes somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Why? Why is this paramount? Jesus recognized somebody touched Him and power had left Him. And what had happened was, is that person would receive what? Healing. But not just any healing. Received instantaneous healing. Instantaneous healing. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I don't know of many churches that are today going around dispensing instantaneous healings. I don't know people that are coming in wheelchairs and walking out. But that doesn't tell me what I need to know. What I need to know is that it should be happening because I just seen where it happens. And God says, you're supposed to be doing the exact same thing. Well, wait a minute. What are you saying? Christina, you know Jesus, right? Right? Okay, and you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, okay. Well, it means you have power, right? And so why aren't people touching your stitch jacket and walking out healed? Why isn't that happening? Oh, that's a good question, right? This is a good question. Did we not receive the same power? How? How do we receive the power? You want to shoot back, Dill? Let's take a step back, right? John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? And then go to the next one, right? Because what happens with the Holy Spirit? But you shall receive power, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we have a simple process, but a process nonetheless, right? Get baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? At that point, you now have power. So you now are a ambassador. I like this word. Ambassador of God's power. You have the right to bring it wherever you travel. Anywhere you set ground, everywhere you touch your feet and plant them, you are now in the operating facility to utilize said power as God so deems it. Because it's still done by the will of the Father. No different than Jesus. Amen? Right? Because he only did what he saw the Father do. So when people were reaching out and grabbing his garment, do you not think that God had told him to walk that way? To go through that crowd? I bet you there were 20 million ways to get around that town and not have to go through that particular crowd of people. He could have been like, oh, it's a lot of people, guys. Yeah, I'm not down for that. We're going to go this way, all right? We're going to take the back route. No. God said, I want you to go through there. There's people that need to be healed. You don't have to do anything. Just walk through. They'll get healed. Crazy. The aspect of the other factor is that now we're a two threat. We're double threat. Did you know that? You're a double threat? Because you now have not only the Spirit of God who gives us power, but we also have the blood of Christ dwelling within us, which means we're replicating Him. Every aspect of Him. That means not only do we have the power dwelling within us, but we also have the, begins with an A. Who's Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God, right? He sits at the right hand of the Father. He has all authority. So now you not only have power, but you also have authority. So that gives you the double threat. You are now not only an ambassador of the power, but you are also able to choose when to use it. Ooh, wait a minute. That means you have another letter. That means you have a big R, which means you are now responsible for what you do. And you're being held accountable for what you don't do. Ooh. Just got real in here. How do I know that, Dylan? Don't go away yet. Too soon, my man. Too soon. No, not that one. There we go. The end of that one. There we go. All right. And this is where it gets good. Ready? And I want everybody to kind of follow along. I'm going to go there. All right, because I like this. We'll start at 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. And then all those locations are really superfluous. It doesn't matter. It's wherever you are. That just happened to be the locale that was nearby where they were. Williamstown, Sewell, Sicklerville, Trenton, for you northerners. You can have fun in Trenton. I don't want to touch ground there. That's all right. I'll pass. God hasn't called me to go to Trenton. Amen, right? Amen. He may have me walk through Trenton. Who knows? So what does it mean when he's telling us, and you shall be witnesses to me? See, that's where this becomes that R, that responsibility. This is where now he knew something that they didn't recognize. They didn't understand. This kind of just went right over their heads. They didn't get it. They didn't get it until later when they're setting Stephen up, when they're starting to put pastors in churches, and they're starting to move from location to location. And I think it's great that you pulled that video up, because here he's leaving this area and recognizing, guess what? There's no more work for me here. I'm off to Spain. What? Why? Because people in Spain need me. That's why. You're good. You got this. You're covered. He needed to go be witnessing to Spain. And see, this is where it's good, because what is a witness? What is a witness? We know witness from the terms when you go and you watch in the judge channel or whatever, that the court TV, what is it called? Is that court TV? Right? And you got all these people coming up and they say they're an eyewitness, right? Or they're a witness, right? And what's a witness? What do? They come up and they testify to what they saw. Right? They testify to what they saw. Well, we're supposed to be witnesses to him. I find this an interesting dichotomy, because in order to be a witness, that means you have to had seen it. In our world, I don't know about you, but I haven't been alive that long. I didn't see all the stuff that Jesus did. I wasn't there. I wasn't at the location. So I didn't get to see it all. But I do know something else that I've seen, and what I've seen with my own eyes is what God has done in me and through me. So what my experiences have been, I've seen that. Do those bear witness to God? And do those bear witness to Christ? Do they not? Now here's the other part, right? Jesus turns around, he's on trial, and he's standing in front of Pontius Pilate, and what does he say? He came to testify. What did he came to testify to? He came to testify to the truth. And I hate this. I lose my stuff every time. He came to testify to the truth. He came to testify to what God's word said. And so here's the other part. If we are also in the same boat as him and we testify to the truth, then what we do is we line up with what God's word says. And every time we do that, we're bearing witness. We're bearing witness, because it's very hard to refute something that God did in your life when you can turn around and go, well, wait a minute. Why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe that this is God? God said in his word that he would do that. Not just for me. He'd do that for you too. Where's that at in scripture? Oh, hold on. Let me show you. Here. Bible verse. Scripture. Oh, wait a minute. This stuff works? Yeah, actually it does. It's pretty cool, actually. You know, and let me sit down and talk to you for a minute and tell you how awesome Jesus is and how much he cares about your soul. See, that's the mentality that we don't understand, is that this power isn't like physical power. You know, a hammer drill. It's not physical power where you're sitting there and you're exerting a force. We've spent so much time exerting physical force trying to beat believers into Jesus, and where are we at? What has that gotten you? How much has that had an impact? The reason is because you're busy being the source of power. You're not actually being a conduit of God's power. See, we receive that power via the Holy Spirit, okay? And now we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is for us to be a witness, right? But we have to do more than just that. There's an aspect of what we're supposed to do. What is the part that that power has? What is the part that that power has? It has destination, right? Because it doesn't stop at you. All right? That's not a conduit. It's kind of like a generator almost, right? That's not what you are. You're not even an amplifier. So stop trying to be. You can't add to God's power. God's power is sufficient. Amen. You can't change it. You can't augment it. Anything you do to it after it's received, the only thing you're responsible to do to it is find its home. Where does it belong? Who does it need to reach? Where does it need to go? That's your responsibility. After that, you have no further responsibility. But that responsibility of passing that, that's the problem. See, that's where we lose our focus. We think that we can do it sitting down. We think that we can do it from our TVs or from our jobs. Guess what? No, you can't. You actually have to actively move the power of God. You have to actively participate in moving the power of God from God the Father Almighty to where it needs to go. How can I say this? Galatians 5:25, Dill. And there's a lot of scriptures that go this way, so if you want to go ahead and headhunt them, go for it. Knock yourself out. I encourage you to be a Berean. If we live in the Spirit, let us then also walk in the spirit. Walking is a good form of exercise. Have anybody ever actually walked for exercise? It's a very good form of exercise. You should walk more because you will understand a very simple concept. Spiritual lesson is a great spiritual lesson. When you walk, it is impossible to not get to a destination. You cannot walk in place. It's very difficult. Now, treadmills are a ridiculous invention. I've seen that happen. You go and watch videos of what happens to people on treadmills. They end up through their walls. Okay? That goes back to the whole thing about the boat. All right? Why are you playing around on the devil's playground? The treadmill's the devil's playground. Usually walk, you need to walk with purpose. And a purpose is a destination. God didn't invent treadmills. Man invented treadmills. God invented a planet for you to habitate and walk from point A to point B. Amen? And the reason he did that is because he wants you to go somewhere. He wants you to go to Spain. He wants you to reach somebody in Spain. If he's calling you, you better be ready. See, where we walk is where we witness. And when we're talking about walking in the Spirit, what does that mean? Well, that means that, first of all, you're acutely listening to your coordinates. And who's giving those coordinates? God, right? Via his Holy Spirit, he's communicating coordinates. He's giving you a destination. He wants you to deliver something. Power, okay? And when we arrive at said destination, we now have a responsibility. We have to deliver it. Not for nothing, but if I showed up to somebody's door and said, I'm here to deliver the power of God, and it was just like my handout like this, they'd probably be like, excuse me, what? What are you giving me? What? Huh? No, let's do something with that. Okay, because this is just not good enough. Let's take this and let's put it in a nice little box with a nice little bow on it. And we'll call it a gift. Everybody wants a gift, right? Who doesn't like to receive a gift? I love gifts. My birthday's coming up, so if you want to know what I want, just, you know, hit my wife up. She'll tell you what kind of gifts she can get me. It is kind of not really, but sort of my love language. It's something, I'll tell you guys, I hate to say it, but I at this time of year, I love Amazon, and I love, like, ordering packages, but I'm so excited that I got something in the mail. It doesn't matter that it's not for me. I'm just like, ooh, it's a package. I'm so excited. It doesn't matter. Exactly. It's not a bill. It's a package. It's something nice. Right? But we get a gift, right? Let me tell you something. Gifts are awesome, right? And so what's really cool about God is that he understood this concept, this human nature aspect of us about how we would love to receive gifts, and that he decided to then make his Holy Spirit in the form of a gift. And that when we show up, we display that gift. That gift can be all kinds of crazy stuff. Like you could be going up to somebody and saying, what did you just say to me? And then Holly's in the next lane in the other aisle and she says, God said that he loves you and that he wants to see you and your whole family come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Wait, what? That was just two gifts right there. That's all that was. Tandem ShopRite runs you and I, just letting you know. But let's think about it, right? This is important because there is something special that we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is not just us anymore. We're changing our fixation and our focus. God has a delivery process. God has a delivery that he wants to make. That same delivery, you received it. You were the benefactor of somebody being openly engaged with God, his Holy Spirit, and delivering a gift. And you received it. But now we're sitting there and we're like, but it's mine. But it's mine. No. But it's not yours. It's everyone's. And God intended for everyone to get it. Whether you obey or not. The only difference is that if you obey, you get the benefit of having a partition in the prize. It's called a blessing. Acts 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that? A couple days that Jesus said? Just wait a little bit, guys. Come on. Spirit's going to come. A couple days. Don't worry about it. You'll know when it happens. Because something's going to happen. And you'll be like, what is going on? Pentecost happens. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not because they knew the language. Not because they were studying it for 6 years and were fluent in it. No, 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 no. Just because the Spirit said, you're now going to speak Japanese, and you're going to speak Korean, and you're going to speak German, and you're going to speak French, and somebody's going to be edified because of it. Somebody's going to get saved because of it. Somebody is going to be built up. Somebody's going to be moved just because of that. It is cool, right? What happened? Man, those guys are drunk. Yes, they're drunk and speaking a language that they obviously can't know. Because there's no way they would have access to that information. It's not like they had a tablet with the Rosetta Stone on it, okay? And they learned it in 3 days. Come on now, people. I want to know who that guy was. These guys are drunk. Because that's what alcohol does to you. That's the case. Change of script. No, I'm not saying that. Don't do that. That's bad. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, two things happened, right? Didn't you know two things just happened right there? It's kind of crazy. Doesn't look like two things happened. Only looks like one thing, right? What was the first thing to happen? Oh, you guys got that one. Wow, okay. Then never mind. You guys are sharper than I thought. Yeah, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? They were consumed. Filled. Filled means to be literally filled. There was a video that came around. This one preacher. It was really good. It was a really good example. I love that object lesson. I wanted to do it today, but God said no. I was like, oh man, it was a really good one too. I wanted to do it. But he had this big, like, vessel, and it was filled with ping pong balls, like orange ping pong balls, right? And he has this huge container of water, and he's pouring the water over top. As it's being filled, all the ping pong balls are just rising up, and they're falling out. And he's like, what happens as all the junk, all the stuff comes out of you, as you're just being filled up with the Spirit of God? And then he said, here's the best part. You're hanging around with some friends, and they want to put that stuff back in you, and he's trying to push the balls back in, and they don't go back in. Why? Because you've been consumed! You've been consumed with God! Holy smokes, that is fantastic news. I can't tell you how great that is. So you're telling me is that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you allow Him, to consume you, all of you, what are you filled with now? There's nothing left. You've been filled with one thing and one thing only, and that's the Spirit of the living God, amen? And with that, you gain all of that wonderful power that you get to be an ambassador with. And what happens when you're consumed and you're filled? You have no choice but to demonstrate that power. You can't do anything else. Why not? Because everything that is in you, everything that you are, is nothing but the power of God. So when you open your mouth, guess what's coming out? Power of God. Where you go, guess what's coming around you and radiating out of you? Power of God. When you sweat, power of God. When somebody touches your shirt because it's consumed by you too, they're getting healed because of the power of God. Why isn't it happening? It's because we're not consumed. We're not consumed. We're still holding on to stuff. We're still holding on to us. There's a part of us that still wants to be yucky and disgusting. In control. Acts 2, verses 40 through 42, right? Peter does this sermon. Do you think that sermon was pre-written? Because he knew that somebody was going to call him out and be like, oh, these guys are drunk. He knew that. He wrote this sermon. Yeah, they're going to call him out. They're going to start speaking in tongues. And yeah, I'm going to call him out on how they're not really drunk and how this is a movement of God and how God wants them to cease and be saved. And this. Okay, great. Done. I did my sermon duty. Do you think Peter did that? No. It didn't happen. Spirit of God moved on him too, because he was consumed. So when he literally saw that and heard these guys are drunk, he turned around and was like, Spirit of God. And after all he said, with many other words, he testified in exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Gee, still have that going on. That hasn't changed. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people. Just take a note. I understand we can get wrapped up, but well, there were 12 disciples. Seriously? I see one Spirit of God. Doesn't matter that there were 12 people. Could have been one person. Could have been two people. Could have been 50 people. Wouldn't have made a difference. When all of them were consumed by one Spirit, the Spirit of God moved and saved 3,000 souls. Don't, I didn't say that the disciples saved 3,000 souls. I said the Spirit of God saved 3,000 souls. Because after all, whose heart is it that souls get saved? Is it my heart? No. My heart's deceitfully wicked. No man can understand it, but the heart of God isn't. And the heart of God said 3,000 souls get saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, that's where we come in. See, now we should start having a perspective. So we get wrapped up in this church stuff. Well, that's the church stuff. But the 3,000 souls are needed in order to make the church stuff worthwhile. What good is the church stuff if there aren't 3,000 souls being added that need doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer? What's the point? Hopefully this is coming around. And this goes just in line with the Great Commission. Right? What was the Great Commission? Go. Right? Keyword, go. That means walk. Don't stand still. Walk. Go. Right? Going is an actual process. You have to move to go. You can't stay still and go. Unless you get that stupid card in Monopoly that says, do not pass go. And then you're like, wait, hold on, I don't understand. Okay. Go and do what? Make disciples. Laying of hands. Raising of the dead. Healing of the sick. Does that all happen because I did it? No. All of the Great Commission is only fulfilled through one medium. One process. One thing. And that is via the power of God. Because the power of God is going to compel me to go. When I go, I will deliver the gifts that the Spirit so needs. And then when that happens, souls will be saved. And when that happens, then I will make disciples. Some people may need to be healed. Is this making sense? Right? And this is the cool part, because I love this aspect. It's always real simple to get focused on our physical properties, right? We can easily go and grab our flesh and put it back on for just an instant, turn around and make an excuse as to why we can't. It's easy. It's easy to come up with reasons why you can't. But this is fail-proof. It's completely fail-proof. You can't fail. Hear me. You can't fail. It's not possible. Why? Because in everything, He is glorified. See, the reason why you can't fail is because the second you turn around and you go and you grab your flesh and you want to make an excuse as to why you can't, God's still going to do it regardless. The only difference is you missed out. That's the difference. Because see, He's not going to not be glorified. He's not going to have His name reign on high. Amen. He is God Almighty. He reigns on high. No form or weapon ever formed will be able to take Him out. Period. You can't stop Him. The devil can't stop Him. Nobody can stop Him from achieving what He has set out to achieve. Nothing will stop Him. So if you understand that, you can understand that it's a no-fail clause. God will not fail. The only difference is you missed out. You missed out on a perfectly good opportunity to not just be a part, and this is really key, you become a part of the kingdom of God when you're there. When you're dabbling and you're not sure, you ain't part of the kingdom of God. You're not. I got scripture that backs that up. But I was told not to bring that scripture today. God said no. So I'm like, okay, fine. Darn. You guys gotta look it up yourselves. But it's true. See, we tend to think that this is the kingdom of God. This is not the kingdom of God. This is ministry. This is where people get healed. This is where people get built up. This is where people get fixed. This is where people leave their trash. It's literally kind of really what it is. We're just a big trash collection. We take your garbage, we clean you up, we go, okay, have fun. Take the garbage out. Keep the sanctuary clean. True. Right? You guys get prayed for, you leave your garbage here, we shovel it out the door. But if you don't take that chance that God's given you in prayer, the healings, the things that God's done, all of those examples he's given you so that you can go bear witness. And when you go bear witness, you carry the power of God with you and you're filled up. Remember that song? Ain't no stopping us now. Yeah, come on. Hey, there we go. Right? This is important because I want us to get this big picture, right? Because we're rounding this out now, right? God's plan is multiplicative. Multiplicative means multiplication. Means there's no division. There's no subtraction. There's no going down. Right? This goes up. But here's where the process is. Multiplicative. Ready? I'll use me as an example. I get consumed. Right? I follow through with that. I receive the Holy Spirit. I agree with God. I want to be consumed, Lord. Consume everything that's in me. I want nothing but the fullness of your power. I get consumed. God gets rid of everything, right? Burns off the dross. Other examples. Through that, I change. I change. Drastically, sometimes instantaneously, sometimes things happen around me that cannot be explained. That draws attention. Jesus did the same thing, did he not? He did small things here and there. Sooner or later, and I love it too. What's really funny about that is Jesus turned around and going like, rise and walk. Tell nobody. Oh, Jesus just said I was dead. Oh my God, I was dead and he woke me up. Oh, forget it. Never mind. Okay, now, I'm going to heal you, but just make sure you just keep it to you and your family, nobody else. Everybody in the entire town knows. Oh, he said, don't say anything. No, but it's true, right? You can't help that. It can't be helped, right? It can't be. And not only that, but like, we'll use your arm for an example. Jesus heals you. You have full mobility in your arm. Everybody who knows you, you didn't, is going to know that Jesus healed you, right? It's going to know. You can't hide that. There's no way you could hide it. You're going to pretend for the rest of your life? No. God told me not to tell anybody, so I got to pretend. Only when I'm home, I can go, oh God, thank you. I can just do all this stuff that I used to not be able to do anymore. Now, it'll happen. Amen. Amen, right? But I do that. I'm obedient, right? I get consumed. I start following out where God tells me and the power of God moves and comes out. Now, I'm not popular, but God starts to become popular because people start knowing. That guy? Yeah, no. God's doing something with him because stuff happens when he's around. I'm just letting you know. Crowd comes. I bear witness. What does that mean now? I'm not testifying to what I did. I'm testifying who God is and what he has done, right? God healed you, not me. I just happened to be near her, and God told me to touch her arm, and she got healed in Jesus' name. That's what happened. Nothing else. That wasn't me. That was God. Right? Testimony. Right? I do that. Then, that demonstration confirms that God is the one who is solely responsible. Not me. And when we are endued with that power, our responsibility is to dispense something that you don't even know you dispensed. What all this came out, right? Everything that happened, what happened that was paramount that nobody probably noticed happened? If I laid that all out, everything that was going on, all the stuff that was going on, power God's moving, all these people are getting healed, all this stuff's happening, all this stuff's going on. What happened? Something just bubbled up to the surface. Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. It begins with the letter H. Hope. Because we live in a hopeless generation. We live in a generation that's riddled with depression and suicide. Hopelessness. A generation so lacking in hope, and God wants to build a temple of hope. He wants you to be an ambassador of hope. A beacon of hope. Because every time that you are participating in being a conduit of God's power, you are building His renown that builds hope. That there is a God who saves. There's a God who loves. There's a God who cares genuinely about my problems and wants to set me free. It's not about what the world offers. It's about what God offers. And that builds hope. Because this world builds hopelessness. This world builds condemnation and death. And God is standing in direct opposition, bearing light, asking us to be light bringers to a hopeless generation. It's a big deal. So the challenge for you guys today, and this is cool, because it starts with us, does it not? This whole thing starts with you, right? If I'm telling you that you're an ambassador of God's power, if I'm telling you, and I can back it up, right, with God's word, you're an ambassador of God's power, you have a responsibility, right? If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit because God wants to use you. Okay? But where's your hope? Because if you're in a hopeless situation, we need to kill that right now in Jesus' name. Because you cannot be a dispenser of God's hope while you're sitting hopeless. That won't work. And if you have hope, what's it in? Is it in God? Or is it in circumstances? Your job? Is it in the worldliness that's around you? Is your hope in the boat? That God told me, there is no boat? Your hope is in a vain imagination? See, God gave me this example. Hopefully this will help you. Our hope is the architectural drawing. Right? That God uses to build our faith. Every ounce of the stuff that God pours into you that's filled with the hope of what He will produce, your faith builds. One line by another. A brick by brick by brick. And eventually, your faith, when it's in action, will build a structure that will not be torn down, that cannot be broken, cannot be blown over, cannot be waved. That's active faith. But if you don't have drawings, what are you building it on? What's it going to look like? What's your faith actually going to become? Because you don't know. So you can say, I have faith. But what's it in? What's the direction? Where's God moving you? Go back to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go back to being involved. Go back to being a participant, being a willing participant, right? All coming together. Here, I'll give you this. You might want to write this down. By hope, we speak. By faith, we move. By God's power, it's accomplished. By faith, we open our mouths, right? By hope, we open our mouths. by faith, we push that hope into action, right? We move on what we just espoused we hoped in, right? That builds our faith. But because God's power moves through us, it's accomplished. It's God's responsibility. We just have to be obedient. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you for what you give every day, God, to your children. I thank you for the provision, not just in your word, God, but in how you care for us so much to provide every aspect of our living being, God, as we live by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, God, that you've given us your own Spirit, God, that is not able to be exhausted, full of power, God, and freely offered to us, if only we choose to be filled with your Spirit, God. So I pray right now, God, that for everyone who's here and hearing today, God, that if their heart is to be filled, God, that they come and be filled in Jesus' name, God. That they not leave here today without being filled completely, consumed, all of you, God, as much as they can possibly be filled up today, God. Because you have a mission, God. You have called us out to go, and you've given us the power to do so, God. And there are people in this world today that are hopeless and need to see that there's hope, God. To see that you are real and you are living and you care so much about this generation, these people, God, that they come into your loving embrace, God. And they're only going to get there if we're willing conduits to dispense that power, God. To dispense your love, to dispense your care, to dispense everything that we have to offer of you to them. So God, have your way today with us, God. Let us be consumed with you in every aspect of you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.